When we think of great leaders, I guess some of those characters on the screen may come to mind. In the Old Testament, the two great leaders most likely to spring to mind are Moses, who led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and passed on the law of God, and David, their greatest ever king, who as well as that was responsible for many of the Psalms that believers still use and value today in addressing God. But in many ways, Samuel could be seen to be even more a model leader from the Old Testament. And if you're wondering why we're doing a bit of an interlude on Samuel, it's particularly to fit in with the Sunday Club's teaching this quarter. Many will know of Samuel's mother, Hannah, and her desperate prayer to God, which resulted in Samuel arriving, and how he was dedicated to the Lord, living in the tabernacle with the high priest Eli. But one night, young Samuel heard God speak to him directly. And though initially he thought it must be Eli calling, he came to realize that it was God who was summoning him to be a prophet, to pass on the Lord's message to his people. Now, how that worked out when he first grew into adulthood isn't recorded in the Bible. I'm going to be retelling the account given in 1 Samuel 7, describing his ministry and leadership when he was much, much older. At that time, Samuel was in despair because the people were in many ways far from the Lord. They worshipped idols, lifeless statues made of precious metals like gold or silver, instead of worshipping the one true God. No wonder they hadn't known God's protection and were regularly threatened by the Philistines, who often raided them and stole their territory. But there were at last signs that they were realizing the problem and thinking about what God might have to say to them through the words of the prophet Samuel. Samuel's message was very clear. If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the idols from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and to serve him only. And God gave Samuel a promise to pass on too, that if the people obeyed and truly turned back to him, then he would deliver them from the attacks of their enemies, the Philistines. And on this occasion, at least, the people did just what God had commanded them to do through the prophet Samuel. They dismantled the idols that they'd been worshipping and started to serve only the Lord. They cut down the images that they had made to the false gods, Baal and Ashtoreth. Then Samuel said, "Gather all the nations' people, Israel, at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they came together at the town of Mizpah, as they'd been told to, fasting solemnly and confessing, "We have sinned against the Lord." And as well as the fasting, they poured out some of their precious supply of water on the ground as a kind of offering and sacrifice to God. And we're told Samuel judged the people of Israel. Now, it was around the time in the Old Testament when, rather confusingly, the people who God gave the Israelites to lead them in battle were called judges. But as we'll see, Samuel doesn't appear to be doing that at all. Seems he was much more like what we call a judge, when they had disputes between people or accusations of wrongdoing, listening carefully and deciding who was right and who was wrong. So most of the people were gathered at Mizpah, where Samuel served as their leader. But that meant that the area around Kiriath Jearim, the town nearest to the territory of the Philistines, which is shaded a darker colour on the picture, didn't have that many fighting men there to protect it. And when the Philistines noticed that, they advanced into the land of Israel. The people were very scared. But they'd learned the importance of trusting the Lord. And they asked Samuel to keep on praying to God. Only now to be praying too for deliverance from their Philistine enemies. As Samuel prayed, he also took a young lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and God answered him. There was some kind of mighty sound ringing across the land. Maybe it was an exceptionally loud thunder, we don't know. But the Philistines were thrown into a panic and easily defeated. As they fled, the Israelite soldiers rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, catching up with some of them around the town of Beth-Kar. Samuel wanted his people to remember how, when they had truly looked to God, he had indeed helped and delivered them. So he set up a stone and called it Ebenezer, Stone of Help, saying, "This far has the Lord helped us." And because of all that, the groups of Philistines who previously captured some of the other Israelite cities took fright and returned to their own land. Meaning that all of the cities throughout Israel were no longer ruled by invaders, and there was peace. With Samuel able to travel around from town to town, judging Israel, making sure there was justice when people believed that they'd been wronged. And as well as that, in his hometown of Ramah, Samuel built an altar to make sure that the Lord could be regularly worshipped there as well. So there were a wide variety of aspects to Samuel's leadership of his people as priest, prophet, and judge. Occasionally you still see something of a one-man band busking in the streets, someone playing several different instruments at the same time. The cartoon shows a man operating an accordion with his hands. There'll be attachments to his knees to operate the drum and the cymbal. And there's a trombone which he is somehow playing at the same time. And you could say the ministry God gave Samuel was a bit like that. As a prophet, Samuel was to pass on the messages that God had for his people, sometimes rebuking them, sometimes relaying God's commands as to what people must do, how they must put things right, and as well as that, passing on God's promises and of blessing and protection if his people obey. The chapter tells too of Samuel's priestly ministry, praying for God's people, offering sacrifice as well. He was the chief judge as well, doing his best to ensure justice and fairness when there were disputes or offences to put right. Maybe as we read of what God called Samuel to do, there may be ways in which we can connect with the Lord's call on each one of us. We may not call ourselves prophets, but in other ways, we're all privileged to be involved in passing on God's word to others, which will sometimes represent a gentle rebuke or remind others of what the Lord commands or assure them of his promises. Even if we don't regularly speak of ourselves as priests, the New Testament makes clear that every believer in Jesus is called to be a person who prays, and not only for our own needs, but for the building of God's kingdom and praying for the needs of others on their behalf. We may not call ourselves judges, but there may be ways in which we can help justice to be done and make the world a fairer place. And then as we reflect on the leader God provided for his Old Testament people in Samuel, for the Christian, we won't be surprised to see even more of these qualities in the ultimate leader that God has provided for us in Jesus. Jesus is the great prophet, that had long been promised. Warning people when they were going wrong, like when he rebuked the money changers in the temple. But also teaching people the right way to live and promising blessing on those who follow God's way. Then again, Jesus is called our great high priest, partly because of the priority that prayer had. Often Jesus leaving his disciples and the crowds to get some time on his own to pray to his Father. Most of all, Jesus is the ultimate priest because he offered to his Father the sacrifice not merely of a lamb or a goat, but of his own life, shedding his blood on the cross to make us right with God. Jesus is the supreme judge as well, who will one day return in glory to judge the living and the dead. A number may perhaps be familiar with the explanation that Jesus is our prophet, our priest, and our king, and that's entirely true. Our Bible reading, as well as speaking of God's provision of Samuel as the leader his people needed at a particular point in their history, as their prophet, priest, and judge. Well, that combination of roles is another good way of pointing to us all that the Lord Jesus was, and of course still is, and one day, when he returns, will be fully seen to be the leader that the whole of our world so badly needs.